This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I'm really glad to be here with you today. I have a very special guest, Anthony Signorelli. He's going to be talking about men's role in the Me Too movement. Anthony is author of Consent is Not Enough, What Men Need to Know in a Me Too World. He believes that the problem is men's behavior and that codes, rules, and laws won't work, and we need to understand men and push towards conversations. Welcome to the show, Anthony. How are you today?
Thank you very much, Mario. I'm glad to be here.
Great. So tell us a little bit about how you got interested in the Me Too movement.
Well, you know, I've been involved and interested in, interested in it through men's work, which I started many, many years ago. I started the first men's discussion group at the University YMCA at the University of Minnesota in the 1980s, if you can believe that. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a long-term interest of mine following men and what they're all about. So when Me Too came about, a friend of mine said to me, "Hey, Tony, we need to get a conversation together between men and women on this whole Me Too thing." And I said, "I'm not so sure men are ready for that yet," because guys were reactionary and things like that. So I said, "Let's have a conversation just with the men." And that really was the genesis of what got me going on this was, you know, we need to talk with men. We need to find out where they're at and what was going on, since they're the ones that are, you know, whose behavior are causing all the problems.
Right. So what do you believe that the man's responsibility or men's responsibility is regarding to this?
Well, you know, I mean, clearly in the Me Too movement, the most of what's being identified there is behaviors by men. So mm-hmm. It seems to me that if men are, or if we're going to solve the problems of sexual harassment and the other things that are being done, that it's the men's behavior that needs to be fixed. Right. What came about to me and got interesting to me was that, you know, many of the men that I talked to and that I sat in groups with and discussed this with felt the same way. But the conversation would always get frozen up on certain aspects of that conversation. And so, mm-hmm. you know, we couldn't make any progress. We couldn't get deeper. We couldn't get to that authentic self, that authentic masculinity, oftentimes. And I think that when you get to that is when you actually have a solution to the problem. Most right. of the men who had experiences doing, you know, participating in Me Too type behaviors, you know, were men who weren't, you know, admittedly said to them, to others, you know, "I wasn't really working out of any kind of sense of an authentic self." So maybe that's where we need to work.
Mm, I like that. That's a really good place to start. You know, a lot of these behaviors, of course, they send back till forever. I remember back in, you know, you could see shows and movies from the 50s, men's behavior, right, through 60s. I experienced it through the 70s. And the behavior was accepted, totally and completely mm-hmm. accepted. Oh, he, you know, boys will be boys, that kind of stuff. What do you have to say to that? And how can we change that mentality of this is how men behave and that's it?
Well, this is the thing, is that we need to get to a deeper sense of what it means to be a man and mm-hmm. to find that authentic sense of what it is. Part of what I think you're referring to is has come under the terms of toxic masculinity in this whole concept of, you know, in the Me Too discussion. And toxic masculinity is an interesting term because there definitely are toxic behaviors that men are involved with, and many of them are the ones you're talking about that were deemed as being acceptable. Mm-hmm. The problem was, though, that when you say toxic masculinity in a group of men, you get a heck of a lot of defensiveness.
Right.
Because it sounds like what you're saying is it's toxic to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
And so that doesn't really get us very far, right? And so, yes, there are these models that are in the public, you know, the movies and all the machismo and the John Deans and all that old stuff, and much of it very current stuff as well.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that changing the movies is going to change me too. And it seems to me like, you know, we need to get to something that's a little, you know, a little more insightful about what's actually going on under there. And what it seems to me is back to this sense of like, well, you have this lack of authenticity. Men don't know themselves. And until they know themselves, they're not going to be able to do very much about this, even if we change the movies.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't talking about changing the movies. I was talking about changing the mindset. And you're talking about the men getting to know themselves, stepping into their authentic selves. So where do they go to learn this?
Yeah, that's the question, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think in many ways, Mari, I think that's the gap, right?
Mm-hmm.
There aren't very many places to really learn the deeper senses of what it means to be a man. And we lack the language. So, you know, for example, a lot of times, you know, we're asked by partners and people to, you know, be more expressive of our feelings, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of men have no language for doing that.
Right.
So if you haven't got a language, how do you express it? People have, they'll have feelings inside themselves, but all they can really say is, I'm angry.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
But that's not enough, right? Because anger is kind of a catch-all phrase, and it might be that they're not angry. It might be that they're outraged. It might be that they're frustrated. It might be, you know, one of 17 of them, it might be that they're hurt, and they don't have or know that language. It's never been modeled to them. And so they don't have a way to articulate what's inside. And so when we say to them, express your feelings more,
mm-hmm.
what happens is they suddenly feel incompetent.
Yeah.
Because you're asking them to do something they don't have the tools to how to do. And so what I think is part of the answer to your question is we want to find a way to help men develop what I call the language of the heart. Ways to understand their deeper feelings and split apart these different sort of categories of feeling so that they can start to be a little bit more articulate about what's actually going on inside themselves. All of us. And I don't mean them. I mean me too, right? We're all in this thing together in that way.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you. That's perfect. And even women, it took me a long time. I would know I was angry. I would know I was sad or mad or whatever, but I didn't know the root of why, you know, even as a woman who's allowed to express feelings and all these things, there was still a lack there of understanding myself. So I had to learn how to do that. And sometimes originally it would take me days to figure out why was I angry? I didn't even know. I just felt the anger. So what you're saying is so valid and so needed. Really good. So what do you think is the main message that you want to bring to the public?
Well, you know, the reason I wrote the book was to try to do two things, right? Let's just try to start this conversation about the fact that, you know, men need something more than just being asked to express their feelings or being asked to be vulnerable or being asked to do this or being asked to do that when there are things they don't know how to do. So the biggest thing is, you know, can we work with them to learn how to speak these things as we were just talking about?
Right.
The book itself takes a little bit different angle on this, and the book itself is really trying to break down, I guess, the discussion about Me Too. Many people, when we sat in these groups and we would start to talk about the different issues and stuff, first of all, it was astonishing. The men were confused, they were angry, they were scared. There was all these different things going on when we would talk with guys in the groups, because they all were bringing different things to the discussion, right? They're thinking about their daughters, they're thinking about their sisters, they're thinking about themselves, and, you know, all these different very complicated sets of feelings. But what would happen when we would get into discussing these things is that there were certain places where it became predictable that the conversation would change. Mm. And where it happened was on these key words that I focus on in the book, which are consent, entitlement, privilege, mm-hmm. objectification, patriarchy, and toxic masculinity.
Okay.
And it wasn't that it was always reactionary against the word. It was just that you could see the whole room, pretty much everybody would sort of like nod and say, yeah, I know. Except that when you really dug into it and asked a question, well, what do you mean by consent?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew anything. When you talked about what do you mean by patriarchy, nobody knew anything. And
okay.
so, or maybe they knew, but they were very different interpretations. And so we thought we were seeing each other eye to eye, but we really were talking past each other. And
mm-hmm.
so in the book, what I've tried to do is to deconstruct those words to say, you know what? If we don't think about what these words mean, then we're going to keep having a conversation that's not going to mean very much.
Right.
And if we keep having that conversation, we're not going to get to a solution for mm-hmm. into harassment, abuse,
yeah.
and the other things that are kind of encompassed in all of that.
So
that's kind of a big answer to your main message question, but that's what I have.
That's a perfect answer. Because these are like trigger words, you know. Nobody feels good when you say they're toxic. I mean, you know,
right.
who wants to hear that?
Yeah.
So let's take just the word toxic masculinity,
mm-hmm.
and how in your book, how would you break down into something that a man or even a woman can understand? What in the world does that mean?
Well, so what I'm trying to get to there is this. There are toxic behaviors. Look, Me Too is a toxic thing. The Me Too behaviors that women are complaining about are
mm-hmm.
toxic behaviors that men engage in. There's no question about it in my mind.
Okay.
The term toxic masculinity, however, has this overtone in it that to be masculine is toxic.
Right.
That's one problem. And so
mm-hmm.
men freeze up in that. The other part of the problem is what we started to kind of refer to earlier, is that it tends to, when people talk about it on radio shows or you see it in essays, people talk about the models for behavior, and we need to change the machismo, you know, part of the code for being a man and all these, you know, kinds of things. And a lot of it, and it does end up in the conversation about pop culture, films, movies, how kids got taught this stuff at a real young age and so on and so forth. None of it is really untrue. It's just that if you think about it, those things that we're seeing that are those cultural icons actually are developed usually by men,
mm-hmm.
are products, therefore, of the male imagination and the male psyche. And so just changing changing the story doesn't really change anything internally. The product of the psyche is still there. So my point is that it's a deeper work than just
yeah.
the cultural. Will it help to change the movies and the story? Sure. But let's not fool ourselves into thinking that that's an answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really kind of want to get at. That's not an answer. The answer is the deeper inner work that men need to do to find their own authentic selves so that they can be present to their emotions, to their heart, to their partners, to the people around them, and not be so alienated that they end up hurt and doing the kinds of things that they do.
Yeah, great. I love that. Very good, Anthony. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. If you want to call in and ask Anthony a question or talk to him, the lines are open and you can call 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now and we'll be right back.
90% of money-making strategies won't work for you because they weren't designed for you. The truth is that you already are a manifesting master. You just need the tools to channel that power. Buy Daniel Mangena's The Money Game for just $1 today, and you'll also receive 3 free bonuses worth $397. See, you've already manifested $396 without even trying. Start your manifesting journey the right way by going to dreamwithdan.com/moneygame.
All I remember was an inspiration motivated by deep feelings for my Grandma Ida and Uncle Bob. Unresolved grief can cause depression. The decline of brain capacities can be avoided by the special bond and special communication from the grandchild and the grandparent sharing memories. This provides education for the grandchild and healing for the elderly. Keep them sharp by practicing the exercises in the book to prevent dementia. LoveRemembers.net and BrainSproutsMemory.com.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Anthony Signorelli, talking about men's role in the Me Too movement. You were just talking, Anthony, about men needing to do a deeper work. You know, go inside, do a deep work, find out who they really are, authenticity. Now, this is my question. Generally, men aren't very open to doing self-help work. How I know? Because I'm a life and relationship coach, and 1% of my clients are men, and the rest are all women. And so, and the reason being, and there is a reason for it, is that men are problem solvers. They like to solve their own problems. They don't want to show weakness in front of others, and that they need help. And so how do we get the ball going? How do we get more and more men going to someone who can help them deeply connect with who they are?
Well, you know, I think my best answer for this really has to do with men getting together with other men and the kinds of work that I've done for many years in small men's groups, larger men's conferences and things like that. That's not, you know, the right ones are ways that people can really find to open themselves up and start to find comfort with other men. When I started doing this work, I found that there were men that I could be with who, you know, when I started, I would have been scared to do some of that stuff. I was quite a bit younger. But there were men who were ready to hold me. There were men who were ready to support me and be there. And you have to go find them, right, at this point.
Right.
Now,
right.
That's for an individual journey. And typically it's going to be that way. I also think, however, that there's work that men can do to do these things. One of them is in the sense of trying to cultivate a language of the heart that I mentioned earlier, which is kind of a bigger project that I've been working on. But it has to do with, like, learning words for example, poetry. Now, does it sound very masculine? No. But there's a great power in poetry and a great power in the language of it that can really open this up. And I've been writing some things about this lately. And I'm going to continue to do that because it is one of the paths. There's also other kinds of creativity. At the end of the day, the opening of the mask of the male heart, in my view, has to be tied to a better imagination. Imagine how another person feels, then you can't have empathy for them.
Mm.
And too many men have their imaginations collapsed into the intellect, into concepts, and things, and they don't know how to imagine very well. And so they can't put themselves in another person's shoes, and they're not very empathic then. And to me, that's kind of the source of a lot of this. If I can come back to one thing I wanted to mention that I think is tied into that from the book. You know, the book is titled Consent is Not Enough. And one of the things that stunned me, that really motivated me actually to write the book, was when I was working on some of these things, I ended up in a meeting at a church with a group of both men and women who were talking about this stuff. And I was sitting there talking to this woman next to me, and we were talking about these things. And the talk was mentioning about how important consent is as an antidote to the Me Too movement. And this woman looked at me and she said, "Yes, I have consented to sex with a man to avoid his rage."
Mm.
And I thought to myself, oh, my God, is that what we mean by consent? So that means that, for example, consent isn't really enough. Consent is permission winning for men. That's a source of harassment, not a cure for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we – and so the – you know, what I try to write about in the book is, no, guys, the standard isn't does she consent. The standard is she choosing you?
Yeah.
You need to think differently. And this is where, Mari, to me, the language that we use to talk about these things is so important. Like, what does consent really mean? If you think about it, it means, you know, to most people, you've got permission.
Right.
Is that what we're talking about? I don't think so.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
I do see what you mean. That's a chilling story. I got chills when you told that.
I get them every time I tell it.
Wow.
It's a stunning story. I mean, it blew me away.
Yeah. But it's the truth. It's what happens. And, you know,
right.
Especially with women who are dealing with, sometimes even within their own marriage or within their relationships. And so
mm-hmm.
You're right, consent is not enough. So to further that, now that person, that man that she was dealing with, doesn't care whether he has her consent or not. He's that type of
right.
person. But for the typical man, for the man who doesn't have the, you know, is not trying to push himself on someone, then is where you go with that consent is not enough. How do you know if the woman or the girl is really giving her permission, or what word do we want to use? Because that's not a good word either.
Well, what I'm saying, or the word I would use is choice.
Okay.
Is
choosing
she choosing you? Is she mm-hmm. actually making a choice to choose you? And I would submit that probably every man on the planet knows when he's being chosen.
Yes, you're right.
So I think that that would be the, you know, that would, if we're going to champion a standard, let's say, and we're going to tell, you know, particularly, I mean, a lot of this conversation goes on in colleges and, you know, with young men as they're just starting to come into dating and, you know, all that stuff. You know, and then you have all these things about, well, she has to consent, she has to consent. Well, how about if, you know, she has to choose, you know, and so do you. And let's go beyond the sense that men are just, you know, Neanderthals who are just, you know, driven by, you know, their hormones.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. Mm-hmm. We have to expect more of men. I mean, that's part of the problem here is that we don't expect men. You know, the standard of consent basically lets men off the hook, both for their harassing behavior, and then also. It doesn't get them to really think about themselves. Like, what do I really want here?
Yeah.
What am I being driven by? Is it really me? Is it an authentic sense of who I am, or is it just some other standard of something that's not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where the gap is. That's where I feel like the gap is that we need to address, and that goes to what your show is all about, which is daring to be authentic. Finding your authentic self.
Yeah.
And so what I want to put out is the idea that that's the direction we can go. Do I have all the answers on how to get there? Not yet. I'm working on some. And I think it'll be something a lot of people will contribute to, right? But that's, I think, where we need to go, is think about what draws people into their real authentic selves.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. That's really good. I love the word choose. I love the word choose.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and a man will ask, are you sure? Do you really want to do this? That's how you know that he has your concern in mind, not just his own needs in mind.
Right.
You know, and that's just saying that, just to be sure, just to be sure is,
mm-hmm.
is just one more little way to, you know, to get there. I just love this conversation. Wow, this is really deep stuff, Anthony. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure to do the work. I like, you know, I've worked a long time with you know, men doing different things, and they get stuck on things too often.
Yeah.
And they don't know where they're not thinking, or they get trapped into things because they don't really think and reframe and consider some of these things. And so that's part of why I wrote this book. And, you know, it is subtitled, you know, What Men Need to Know About, you know, when Living in a Me Too World. And that's why I wrote it for, you know. One of the other things that happens, Mari, that's interesting on this is that one of the other things that came up in the conversations, when men are, you know, when we're talking about this, they get very confused. And one of the questions that comes up often is, does this mean it's not okay for me to appreciate a woman's beauty?
Mm-hmm.
That's a real confusion. And how can I? And the discussions kind of go around in circles, because at the end of the day, you know, there is a thing about beauty and attraction and things that actually is how all relationships start.
Yes.
You know, you're attracted to somebody. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and, you know, I've heard people say, well, but, you know, it's not, you know, it's very sort of not real. You're not really engaging the person. You're just looking at beauty and all that stuff. But beauty is the first attraction. It's the first thing that draws two people together. So you can't say, well, just because it's about beauty that it's, you know, meaningless, or that it's, or that, you know, it should, you know, that you shouldn't sense that in someone. You shouldn't like be attracted to someone. Of course you should be. We're set up that way.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's kind of where it goes after that, I think, that becomes the key. So,
yeah, absolutely. Awesome. So let's talk for a second about how to get a hold of you and your book.
Sure. So the book is on Amazon. You can just search under Consent Is Not Enough. And it is currently, through the end of the month here, in an ebook for 99 cents. So that's a great deal. Otherwise, there's a paperback as well, and you can get that from Amazon as well. The other thing is that there's I have also a free introduction to some of this stuff, Hold Men Accountable, Move Beyond mm-hmm. Toxic Masculinity and Other Essays. And that's a free book, actually. There's a link to that on my website, and mm-hmm. people can get that there. That's anthonysignorelli.com.
Great. And so that's anthonysignorelli.com. And you can find it right here on the Blog Talk link. You can link into that, and you can link right into Anthony's book. Fantastic. So we're about
can I mention one other thing, Mari? If you don't mind, let me mention just one other thing. Just for people who are interested, I'm writing a lot right now on these topics on medium.com. And so that's a good place to also track if you're interested. It's at A. Signorelli is the handle on medium.com. So if you wanted to go there too, that would be a good one.
Okay, perfect. Very good. Mm-hmm. So with a little over a minute, is there one last thing you'd like to say to a listener before we close?
Keep trying to go deeper would be my thing, would be to examine the words, think about what they mean, and let's see if we can find, you know, our way through the thing and just not assuming that we know exactly what we mean when we say privilege, or that we know how it's going to land on someone else. We need to find a way to be gentle with each other in these discussions if we're actually going to get to some solutions. That would be what I'd say.
I love that. Keep trying to go deeper. That's good for everybody, for men, for women. I think that's very good advice. Well, thanks so much, Anthony, for being on the show. It's been such a pleasure having you. Thank you for listening in to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. And this is a live show, but I want to remind you that a replay will be available right after. So spread the message. Send it to every man that you know. And make sure you catch us next time on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Bye for now.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.